And he's our all in all. You know that? You say, who is he? It's Jesus Christ. And we're talking today about Jesus Christ. It is the season. And he is the reason for the season, as some say. It is the truth that our joy and our peace and all that we have has come to us from God, through God, who is Jesus Christ. That's right. Jesus Christ is God. That's the most important thing that I want you to come to see today. As we are here, we want to be still. The scripture says that we just heard from Deacon Dennis. Be still and know that Almighty God is our Savior and our strength. Do you know that? I hope and I pray that when we're done today, we will come to see that he is our all in all, that he is our strength, that he is our life. Jesus is. And I'm very, very thankful that God has sent him as my Lord and our Lord and our Savior. He came, he lived, he died, he rose again for us. And during this season, our theme is be still and know that I am God. That's what the scripture says. Be still and know that I am God. Do we know that God is God? See, the whole reason for this season that is called Christmas is about Jesus Christ and about us being still. This is a very, very active time of the year, is it not? I mean, certain highways and roads in our area, you don't go down that road at certain times because you're going to have a traffic jam. Because everybody is busy. We're looking for, that turkey. We're looking for this gift for this family member and a gift for somebody else. It's very, very busy time. I think we can agree to that. But is it to be dedicated to busyness? I think that the Lord, when he inspired this to be written, wanted our attention. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that, not just intellectually, but spiritually. And so today, and also next Lord's Day, I want to talk to you about God, about being still and knowing God, experiencing him. Sometimes we cover ourselves with busyness. You know, I won't think about that. I'll get busy doing this and that. What about devoting our heart and our mind and our thoughts to God? What about lifing out that scripture that Deacon Dennis read for us a few minutes ago? Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Sometimes we're so busy, we miss God. And even I have to be careful that even in doing the Lord's work, that I miss God by being so busy preaching or counseling, that God is the center of my life and my joy. And it's him that is most important. And sometimes we just need to be still. Just be still and know that Almighty God is our Savior. Without him, we would be lost. And he is our strength. So the next couple of sermons, including today and next week, I want to focus on this subject. And I hope that we will have a heart that's lifted up, that we will have joy truly to the world, joy that God has given us, and that we will be willing and able to share it with others because our focus is not on ourselves. Our focus is on God. Who is God? What is this Christmas season all about? Let me try to make it simple to you. This season is about God sending God to save his people through God. It's about God sending God to save his people through God. You say, wait a minute, God sending God. Sometimes we can overlook the fact that Jesus is God. He is God. He's always been God. He is the Son of God. And God has always had a Son. For Jesus has always existed. He has always come. He really has. He's come into the world. He could have come anywhere. He could have been in some faraway place where we wouldn't think God would be. God is everywhere. God is God. God is our Savior. He came into the world to save us. The scripture says that when the time was full and perfect to accomplish all God's eternal purposes, God sent God, the Word, into the world. God sent God, the Word, the God, the Son, to this tiny speck of human habitation called the earth. He could have sent him anywhere. But he so loved us that he came. He came to this world. God sent God. But the big question is why? Now, some don't believe that Jesus is God. They don't believe that God is God. If God is God, Jesus is God. Now, the question is why? The answer God himself gives us. The one that I have seen so much in myself. I need the Lord. And he sent Jesus to save me. I don't know if you need the Lord or not, but I want to recommend him to you. He is my all in all. He is your all in all. Here's the bottom line. I don't want to preach too much today. Here's the bottom line. Romans 8 and verse 3. Could you turn there with me? Why God sent Jesus? That, if we don't cover anything else, I want you to get this. I want it to be deep in my heart and deep in my soul as well. Romans 8 and verse 3. God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son. Who is God's own Son? It's Jesus. Jesus is God. God is a Father. He is our Father. We pray in his name. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Holy are you, God. Yes, God is holy. You know what holy means? It means totally other. There's none like you, God. There's none like him. Absolutely none. There's no other way but by him. Romans 8, 3 again. I want you to get this scripture. Repetition, they say, is a key to remembering. God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. The law, the Ten Commandments, could not change me, could not keep me from hating somebody. It was there, but it's not the solution. Romans 8, 3 is God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son. That's what, quote unquote, Christmas is. It's about God sending his own Son, and his own Son is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's Christmas. Romans 8, 3 again. It's Christmas. Here's the rest of the verse. By sending his own Son into the likeness of sinful flesh, God sent his own Son, God, in the likeness of sinful flesh. my sinful flesh, your sinful flesh, not just in how we looked, but how we functioned. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Now watch this. He condemned sin in the flesh. That's what it's talking about, Romans 8:3. He condemned my Lord and Savior, his son, Jesus. He condemned him in the flesh because of the sins of Earl Williams and the sins of John Brown and Mary Gozalak, whatever your name may be. Here's the answer. Here's the weight and the truth of Christmas. By sending his own son in the likeness of his sinful flesh for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned his own son. Imagine that. His only son whom he lived, he condemned him. He had him to come in the flesh. He had him come as a little baby. Goo goo gaga who grew up. Not that he sinned, but that the sins of the world and all of our flesh could be put on him. He took our sins, condemned sin in our flesh. What hope is there for me? What hope is there for you? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the flesh. Nothing but a person named Jesus Christ, born in a manger. He went through all the phases of childhood, but without sin. But our sins were placed on him. That's not fair, is it? Salvation is not fair. It is right. Our sins placed on him. Be still and know the meaning of this season we celebrate. Romans 8:3 again. Let me put it to you this way. Who's going to save me? If I'm on a boat going overseas, and it's winter, and it's like the Titanic or some other great boat. I'm on the boat. Sin's all around. That boat has hit an iceberg. It's going down. And the owner of the ship sees me out there, floating away in that ice cold water. He sees me going down. He leaves his yacht and he gets on the water and he comes where I am. And he says, come on, Earl, get in. He knows I'm going to die. He knows I'm going to freeze to death in the water. He says, get in my boat. And he looks over at his son. And he says, I so love him. I so love Earl Williams that I am letting him take your life check and get in your spot on the boat, son. And I'm going to let him die so that you might live. What does that feel like? What is that experience? Because things like that happen. And if someone on a Titanic, you know God so loved the world that he gave. What if all of your sins and all of my sins, and we were sent to court and we have to stand before the judge of the world, the creator of all things, and we stand before him, and all of our sins are read. All of our sins are accounted for in that book. And there's nothing I can do to erase those sins. And the judge is there. And his son is there. And again, the judge puts forth his son, who's never sinned, who's been righteous and holy. And here I have lied. I am almost 78 years old. You think I haven't sinned in those 78 years? Who's going to save me? Would all my good works since be stacked up and be given to God? Now, God, you know, I did that. But, you know, I've changed. Here it is, God. Would you accept that? Would God? God doesn't accept that. But this is what God does. He takes this long bill of sins and wrongs that I've committed, and he calls forth for his son. He asks the bailiffs to come and put chains on his son's ankles, on his arms. And he has the bailiff to lead his sinless son away in prison. Not only just went to prison, he's going to prison. He's going out knowing that in so many days he's going to the electric chair or going to be hung. What does that feel like? That here he bears your sin and my sins, real sins. You've got them and I've got them. Be still. And know that I am God. For there is none like him. None who sent his son. I want us to read Romans 8, verse 3 at home. I'll read it here again, though. But read it when you get home. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Whether it's down with the down with the ship or hung in the gallows, by sending his own son. His own son is God. God sent God to be punished. Can your mind accept that? God sent his only beloved son. What does that feel like? Parents, what does that feel like? Many of us have children. What does it feel like if your child was wrongly, it did nothing wrong, wrongly punished for the sins and mistake of another child? What if God sent God? What if God punished God? What if God laid all the sins of God on God? For Jesus is God. You read the writings in John. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, but not just dwelt, had our sins placed on him. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Romans 8:3. Or to paraphrase the Apostle Paul in Galatians 3:13, Christ became a curse for us. He became a curse for us so that we could be set free. Do we understand the magnitude of the season we call Christmas? Be still and know that he is God, that Jesus is God. That's why God sent God. That's what it's all about. I want to save some time for next week. But be still and know that he's God and that he's good. And he so loved you and he so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. You know what that feels like? Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Let's sing, oh, happy day. Let's bring that up. Let's sing, oh, happy day. When he washed my sins away by and through his son. That's what God did for us. Oh, happy day. Let's play that. Jesus washed all our sins away. Oh, happy day to know that our God, our Father, gave his only begotten Son. And that our God is real. He is real. In Exodus 3 and verse 14, listen to what he says. I am who I am. You see, the question is, can God handle our problems? Can he wash our sins away? Can he cleanse us? Can he save us? Because the law can't do it. We read that in Romans. But nobody. See, reality, what's really real is a person. It's not a thing. A thing can't help you. We worship things, houses, cars, money, whatever. We worship things that cannot save us. The ultimate reality is not a thing. They can't make you happy. But oh, happy day when he washes our sins away. The ultimate reality is a person, not a thing. This is just mind-boggling what Jesus said. Exodus, again, 3, verse 14. I am who I am, he says. In other words, we don't create God. We don't make God. We don't enrich anything in his existence. We don't tell him what to do. We don't counsel him. We don't help him. Our God is an awesome God. He reveals himself in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. It says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, by other men. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by guess who? Past of all the prophets, all the great men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of them, but has spoken to us by his Son. Isn't that wonderful? Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2 says, long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our forefathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. Maybe we ought to listen to Jesus. Maybe we ought to worship him. Maybe we ought to thank him for giving us life, for his life, for dying on a cross for us. This is awesome. This is huge. Oh, happy day. Oh, Father, we just want to thank you. And we ask, Father, that you would take this message and weave it into our lives. That we would be still and listen to you and worship you. For you are our all in all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. He is all in all. He is ultimate reality. There's nothing else more real. He's the creator of all things. And by him and through him, all things consist. Don't put your faith in anything else. Nothing else can satisfy you. Nobody else can heal you. Nobody else or no anything else can strengthen you or can give you life. He is. Jesus is. He is the God-man, the flesh God, incomparable to mortal flesh. He is God. And we worship him. We love him. He is our life. He is our strength. And yes, I beg you, I implore you, come to Jesus. If you want to really live, not only for eternal life, and that's the greatest, but even in this life, come to Jesus. He is life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. As we prepare now to partake of the bread, the body of Christ, we are blessed by his body. For it was through his body, him giving his body to be beaten and torn, so that we might live. Be still during this season. It's not about the bling. It's not about the seeing. It's not about this. It's not about that. Not about the food. It's not about the lights. All that stuff can be good and a blessing from God, but that's not it. If you have not seen that yet, Father, I ask that you'd open our eyes to see that Jesus is our all in all, that he is life and life eternal, and there is life in nothing else but your Son. Open the eyes of our hearts. Lead us to your Son. Change hearts. Open eyes. And let us embrace your Son and have that life, that eternal life. So, Father, as we eat this bread, I ask you to bless it and that we find true life in your Son. As we drink this wine, we pray that you would use it that you would let it be not just a sign of the blood of Jesus, but that we would experience the blessing of the blood of Jesus, that our sins are forgiven, and that we're empowered to live a godly life. So I ask if there are any there listening, whether at home or in this service today, we pray that you will come to Jesus. This is the ultimate reality. He is our life. He is our all in all. We can sing it, but Father, I ask you to change hearts from the young to the old. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's play the song and sing along with it. Come unto Jesus.
Jesus, all you who are weary, come to the mercy seat, fervently kneel. Here bring your wounded heart, broken and needy. Come unto Jesus, mighty to heal. Joy of the comfortless, light for the straying, hope of the penitent, peace in our strife. He speaks the comforter, tenderly saying, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come unto Jesus, come unto Jesus, lay down your burdens, he is enough. Come unto Jesus, rest in his love. Come taste the bread of life, broken for sinners. Drink from the cup of his promise made sure. Feast at his table as sons and as daughters. Grace overflowing is yours evermore. Come unto Jesus. Come unto Jesus. Nothing but loss, and trade all this world for his kingdom unfading. Come unto Jesus and take up your cross. Come unto Jesus and take up your cross. to Jesus and rest in his love. Come unto Jesus, rest in his love.